but it's found in the written word. Our eyes behold Christ as he sees us in himself. He's glorified and we are the power. We say there's no error in his atmosphere. Clarity comes to our mind as your word is taught. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are looking at a new topic today titled Faith and Healing. Hallelujah. Title what? Faith and Healing. Glory to God. Glory to God. Matthew 28 from verses 18. Matthew 28 from verses 18. Jesus came and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. He said, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Glory to God. So Jesus said to his disciples, we are discussing faith and healing. Hallelujah. Faith and healing. When Jesus says, go make disciples, we'll be looking at this word for a while. Make disciples. We say it implies to raise students. Hallelujah.
To raise students. So Jesus said, go raise students.
Hallelujah. Go raise students. A word used for how one is enrolled in a citadel of learning. Hallelujah. A word used for how one is enrolled in learning a particular discipline. Hallelujah. That is the word matitio. Matitio. So when he says all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, go therefore and make disciples. What Jesus is saying is that the authority of Christ is the authority to raise disciples. Your authority
is to raise disciples.
It's not an authority to many people misuse that word
authority.
Hallelujah. Many people have. But that authority is for making disciples. And in verse 19, he says, baptizing them. And we've seen that word baptizing them will be the entry point into discipleship. Baptizing them be the entry point into discipleship. So the word baptizing used here will be the same word used by Mark in Mark 16. Mark 16, 4, verse 15. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creation. To every creature, rather. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who doesn't believe will be damned. Hallelujah. That is the same word. He who believes and is baptized. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it will be the same word used by Mark when he summarizes the same instruction that Matthew gave. So Mark deals with the entry point. He deals with the entry point into discipleship. He says, he who believes and is baptized. That word
and is the word kai.
It's the word kai. And the word kai here is not used for a distinction. Are you hearing me? It's not used for a distinction. No. Rather, it's used for
explanation.
Meaning, the word kai is used for explanation, that is and. You know, in school you are told and is used, is a conjunction, right? That joins two words. Is it two words? Two different words together, right? But, you know, you don't use, remember I've taught us that you don't employ, you don't bring in your contemporary today English into Bible language. You have to know what Bible language is. So when that word and is used in Bible, it's either used for joining two words that are of different meanings or for explanation. And at this point, he's talking about explanation. Hallelujah. See, he who believes, that is baptized. That's what it means. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, meaning, Mark calls the believing the gospel when preached baptism. Baptism. That word baptized. I know there are some people that go for catechism, right? Jeez. Yeah, they go for catechism again. Okay, they go for baptism, and they go through catechism classes. I'm forgetting.
Hallelujah.
Catechism classes. That they will be baptized. And now they will be baptized, they will not wear white. See, today, I really don't know the reason for the white. Hallelujah. Wear white. Hallelujah. Wear white. That to show. So you are not the symbol. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So remember that. That was 2005. So what is baptism? Baptism is an open declaration of
Lord.
Hallelujah. So when it says baptizing, that is the word baptizo in the Greek. That word implies to be immersed. Used for water baptism. Listen, it's that word baptism. It's used for water baptism. And when it's used for water baptism, always referencing John's baptism. When it's used for water baptism, it's used to reference to John's baptism. Look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 6. Matthew 3, 6. Are you there? It says, from verse 5, it says, then Jerusalem, all Judea, all the regions around the Jordan went out to him, John, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. You see that? So they came to meet John to be baptized. Look at verse 11. John is speaking. He said, I did baptize him with water unto repentance. Did you see John? Hallelujah. Verses 13. It says, then Jesus came to Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. Did you see that? To be what? Baptized by him. You also find it also in Mark 1, verse 4, verse 5, verse 8. I'm going to be a bit fast. Mark 1, verse 4, verse 5, verse 8. Glory to God.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Also in Mark 1, verse 4, verse 5, verse 8, verse 9. John 1, 25 to 33. John's baptism. Hallelujah. Something to look at. John 3. John 3, 22. John's baptism also. Hallelujah. Glory to God. John's baptism. Look at verse 22. He said, after these things, Jesus and his disciples came to the land of Judea. And there he remained with them and baptized. Did you see that? I see that. I'm baptized. Now, if you read this alone, you felt Jesus baptized. Are you following me? I'm baptized. And John also was baptizing in Anion near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who is with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and men are coming, and all are coming to him. Now, if you read this and stop, it looks as if Jesus is baptizing. But you know, Jesus never baptized anyone. Look at chapter 4. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard, that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. 2. Though Jesus himself did not baptize, so who did the baptism? The disciples, not Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But when you hear the word baptism, water baptism is always referring to John's act. Are you following me? What John did. Look at Acts 1 verse 5. Follow me here. Acts 1 5. For John truly baptized with water. Did you see that? John baptized with water. For you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. Hallelujah. Acts 19. Acts 19 verse 3. Paul came to Ephesus and found 12 disciples, 12 guys, and he ministered to them. Glory to God. Now look at the question he asked them. Verse 3. When he met them, he asked them, and he said to them, into what were you baptized? Verse 3, Paul asked them, he says, did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed? And they asked, you've not heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. In verse 3, you know, he now asked them, into what were you baptized? Then I said, into what? Look at it. He said, into John's baptism. But Paul knew that they never knew what they were talking about. And then Paul replied in verse 4. Look at verse 4. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. So he said, what Jesus told, what Paul is saying is that, see, John's baptism was actually a pointer. Hallelujah. Another was that baptism, water baptism. Did you see that? That was what Jesus, how we call it Jesus? That was what Paul did. Hallelujah. That was what Paul did. Paul immediately corrected them. He said, John baptized with what? He said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying. Did you see that? So he's telling you that John's baptism was not actually water, but was a pointer. We'll get to see that. Hallelujah. He says it was a pointer, it's a message, it's a saying. Did you see that? So he tells them that John's baptism is a message for you to believe on Christ, not actually the water. The water is not what John actually came to do, but the water was the symbol to point on his message. And the message was concerning Christ. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. What's the message? Look at Acts 13 quickly. Acts 13. In Acts 13, verse 24. It says, this is Paul speaking. He said, of this man's seed, God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Did you see that? Verse 24. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. He said, John's baptism was a preaching. Did you see that? He said, John preached. John did what? He preached. So John's baptism was a message. Hallelujah. But you know, these guys, unbelief. What did they stick to? They stuck to water. But the water was what? A symbol of what he was saying. Are you following me? Are you following me? That was the symbol. Was a symbol. In John 1 verse 40, quickly. John 1 verse 14. Let's see something. Verse 40. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Peter's brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you see that? So John had a message.
Yes, I speak something.
Okay, hallelujah. I did hit something. Okay, look at verse 29. It says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, he's before me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, this is why he now baptized water. See, I did not know him, but he should be revealed to Israel because I came baptizing with water. So did you see that? So his water was to point to Christ. Hallelujah. Was a pointer to his message. Do you understand me? The water was a symbol of his message pointing to Christ. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, what was the message? The message is the message of repentance, to believe on Jesus. Did you see that? So his message was a pointer.
Hallelujah. It was a pointer. Glory to God. The prophet also spoke concerning it. In Isaiah chapter 40 verse 3, the prophet was still concerning John. Isaiah 40 verse 3. Let's look at Isaiah 40 verse 3 quickly. Are you there? I read. It says, "And the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." You see that? Hallelujah. That prophecy was concerning John. Hallelujah. He said, prepare the way of the Lord. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Malachi 4, verse 5. Malachi 4, verse 5. Quickly. Are you there? It says, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." He's not talking about rapture yet. No, talking about what? The incarnation. Glory to God. Do you see the way words are used? Before the great and dreadful day. So some people think dreadful day implies rapture. No. Hallelujah. Talking about the incarnation. Say, "I send thee Elijah." Are you following me? Elijah. Glory to God. Who is Elijah? Was talking about, he's not talking about Elijah coming back again, but he's referring to John. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So just like every other prophet, John will what? Witness concerning Christ. You know, every other prophet will have their witness concerning Christ. They will bear witness concerning Christ. John 1 verse 7, John will say, he bore witness of the light. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He bore witness of the light. John 1 7. That word witness is a word used for one. That is the word matos. A word used for one who bears record by speaking. Who bears record of by speaking. He bears record of by speaking. So if John is a witness, that means John's baptism was a message. So when you hear John's baptism, we should not ask which of the baptisms. Is it the message or the symbol? Because the water is the symbol of the message. Hallelujah. So John, remember, because of, can we say it was because of hardness of heart that John would also have the water? Yes. Do you understand me? The glory to God. Hallelujah. Another question is, did John formulate it? We'll get to see that soon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So John's baptism is a message, but like other prophets, he will also prefigure what he teaches. Do you see that? He will also prefigure it by baptizing them in the water. Do you get me? So it's a prefiguring of what he has taught them or what he's teaching them. Hallelujah. Are you following me? He's prefiguring. So this practice is not new to them. So it's a practice that they are aware of. Are you following me? It's not a new practice to them. The practice that is common in a Jewish tradition to show a new beginning. That is used to show a new beginning, a new start. So John will now bring that practice. Are you following me? John will employ that practice for you to see that in the Messiah, there will be a new beginning. There will be a new start. Are you following me? There will be a new beginning. There will be a new start. Look at Leviticus chapter 4. Leviticus 11, 25. They had it as a tradition. Leviticus 11. Are you there? Leviticus 11. Shall I wait for you? Verse 25. Are you there? Okay, wait. It says, "Whoever carries part of the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening." Did you see that? Shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. 28. He said, "Whoever carries any such carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. It is unclean to you." Verse 40. It says,
And he who eats the carcasses shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. He who also carries his carcasses shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. Hallelujah. So they had washings as part of their tradition. Are you following me? Look at Numbers 40. Are you Numbers? I mean Numbers 19. That's 40. Numbers 19. Look at verse 18. It says, a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water, sprinkle it on the tent and all the vessels and the persons who are there, or on the one who touched a bone, the slain, the dead, or a grave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 12. We say, he who purifies himself with water, he shall purify himself with water on the third day. And on the seventh day, when then he will be clean. Did you see that? So it's used for cleanness, a new start. So it shows clean, a new start, where the uncleanness is taken away. Are you following me? Are you following me? So John would not employ this to show a what? In Christ, you'll be clean. Right? Right? In Christ is a new start. Sins are washed away. Hallelujah. A new beginning in Christ. Are you following me? Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, that is what John's baptism is. And in the epistles, what will be taught will be the reality of the baptism. What that is, what has happened to us in Christ. You will not be taught, go and be baptized in water. You will be taught the reality of what has happened to you in Christ. Are you following what has happened to you in Christ when we believe? Which is our union with Christ. So, what John uses that symbol to do will be to explain our union with Christ. Hallelujah. So when he dips you into the water, like some people, I did it. You know, the preacher man is inside. And I baptize in the name of the and of the and also,
and see, you know, when I say you are baptized, they don't do like this again for you.
What is that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
But you know, when John dips them into the water, it's to show them our union with Christ. And the coming out implies a new beginning. Hallelujah. Paul will employ the fullness of John's baptism in Romans 6 verse 1 to teach our reality in Christ. Look at Romans 6 verse 1. He will employ the fullness of that baptism. What John has taught, you know, what John is teaching is a point that this is what will happen in Christ. So it was in his message. Hallelujah. Then he will now show it by the symbol. Hallelujah. So what Paul has done for us in Romans 6, you see that he employs those things. Okay, let's look at it. Romans 6. So what shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abide? They certainly not. How can we who are dead to sin live any longer in it? Say, or do you not know that as many of you who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Did you see that? Were baptized into Christ. That is the union. Hallelujah. So Paul employs that. Hallelujah. To show you that what has happened to us is a baptism in Christ. Are you following me? Is a baptism in Christ. Glory to God. He said, we're buried with him with baptism. So we're buried with him with baptism. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we should walk in newness of life. Is that a new beginning? That is the new beginning. That is the new creation. With a new beginning, a new start.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
So when he gets to 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, if any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Hallelujah. So if anyone be in Christ, can we put it like this? If anyone is baptized into Christ, right? He is a new creation. Is that water baptism or believing? Hallelujah. Are you following me? That is believing. Glory to God. He says, all things are passed away. Will that be uncleanness? Will that be uncleanness? Hallelujah. Will that be sin? Passed away. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can also read 1 Corinthians 12:13. Where he mastered to Christ, that shows that union. Galatians 3:27. So that baptism happens by our faith in Christ. By our faith in Christ. So let's go back to where we were coming from. Matthew 28. Say, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when he says baptizing them, he wasn't referring to water baptism, but what? Preaching of the gospel and believing in the gospel. Hallelujah. And when this happens, that one is a disciple. Do you get that? So when I am baptized, I am a disciple. That is how I am enrolled as a disciple. Hallelujah. Then verse 20. Would that be? What will discipleship entail? How will discipleship be carried on? And I said, teaching them. Do you see that? Teaching them. Matthew 28, verse 20. Let's read that together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you following me? Look at verse 20. Let's read together. One to go. One to go.
Let's take that again.
One, two, go. Hallelujah. It says, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. It says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Now, it is just a word. It says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded, and lo, that is, see, I am with you always. He uses the word, I am. I am. That is the word in the Greek, egoemai, in the Greek. Egoemai. I am. Egoemai, E-G-O-E-I-M-I. Egoemai. The word is a verb. Though the word is a verb, it is a proper name. Hallelujah. So it's a proper name that functions like a verb. Are you following me? But it's a proper name. We're going to see that. That is a proper name. Hallelujah. We're going to see that. Hallelujah. Every Jew knows when they hear I am, they know it's the name reserved for God. In Hebrew. So when you hear I am, every Jew knows that name is reserved for God. So Jesus says that. He says, I am with you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He says, such a name reserved for God that speaks of God's work. Hallelujah. That speaks of God's work. In John 8, John 8. See, in John 8, let's read something in John 8 quickly, from verse 54. This is Jesus with the Pharisees. And he said to them, Jesus said, if I honor myself, come on, John 8, 54. We need to learn how to open scriptures. Hallelujah. And glory to God. What a very slow when it comes to reading scriptures. John 8, I only, verse 54. He said, Jesus answered and said, if I honor
myself, my honor is nothing.
It is the Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you, for I do know him and keep his word. Says, look at this. He says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and he was glad. You know, they didn't get angry because of that though. What? You need to see what they were angry for. Then Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced. Meaning, we have treated that. That is, on Mount Moriah, Abraham saw. So that shows you that what happened on Mount Moriah was not God testing Abraham. We said that yesterday, right? Not God testing Abraham. No. Abraham saw ahead of time the sacrifice. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What God will do, and he said, it's Jehovah Jireh, and it's God will provide. Hallelujah. God will provide. That is what God himself will provide. It can be read as God will provide himself the lamb. You get me? God will provide himself as the lamb. So it's not Jehovah Jireh for money. It is Jehovah Jireh for what? The incarnation. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. So watch what he says. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he was glad. Verse 57. And the Jews said to him, you're not even 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham. You know, they say it's not Abraham. He said, Abraham saw my day. Hallelujah. Maybe you know that they have issues with that. Hallelujah. Offense. Well, we look at that when we treat relationships. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 58. And Jesus said, most assuredly I said to you, before Abraham was, I am. What did they do? Verse 9. And they took up stones and threw at him. This is that they picked stones immediately and they wanted to stone him. In fact, they stoned him. Hallelujah. Why did they stone him? Is it because before Abraham was, he was existing? No. No, because they have dealt with it. Look at you, how old are you? To say Abraham, that you have seen Abraham, right? That was not the ball of contention. If that was the ball of contention, they wouldn't have stoned him, because they would know that they might just say, this one is drinking weed. Did you understand? But that was not the ball of contention. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Now, when the Jews hear that, it means you are saying you are the God of Abraham. Are you following me? That is what it implies. That word I am. They don't use the word I am. Ego am I. Hallelujah. A proper name for God. Are you following me? Is it what? It's a proper name for God. And Jesus employs that. So the reason they took stones was because they said, I am. So he said, before Abraham, I am. Meaning, I am the God of Abraham. So the speech goes. Glory to God. Are you following me? So the word I am is a proper name. Is it what? It's a proper name. Just look at that. Exodus chapter 3 quickly. Exodus 3 verse 14. I am. Come on, you have to be fast now. We're behind time. You have a lot to look at. Exodus 3. Are you there? I'll start from verses 13 into 14. It says, and Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and said to them, the Lord God of your fathers have sent me to you. And they said to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. Do you see it's a proper name? Can you see that? I am have sent you. That is God's name. I am has sent you. Glory to God. That word I am, that I am, is the word here
ka asa iha in the Hebrew. Hallelujah. Iha ka asa iha. I am that I am. It is a word used for Yahweh without vowels, without the A and E. YHWH. Yahweh. You know, that word has got a whole lot of contention. So it says Yahweh. No, it's not Yahweh. It's Yahowah. No, it's not Yahowah. It is. It's, because it's a name without vowels. Hallelujah. And it was like that, so that you'll not be able to pronounce it. How about that for you? That's what we call Jehovah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What a time to teach on this. When I'm celebrating my pastor's birthday. What a time. You know, let me tell you. You know, Pastor Shekhar can only save me from this. So, who knows, you know. We actually started talking Yahuwah. You remember? Yahushua, Yahuwah. Hallelujah. Eloha, Elohim. Were you around yesterday? Okay, we had a little talk on Elohim. Glory to God. Right? A little G on Elohim. Know something? So, it's a word of contention. That's the name. What a pronunciation for a name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the word Jehovah. So, the Hebrew word I am that I am implies that is Eya Kasa here. With this H A Y E R K A A S E R A H. I mean, H A Y E R. Eya Kasa here. Implies I am that I am who I am. I will be what I will be. Do you get? So if you have to bring in the Hebrew word, it is I am who I am. I will be what I will be. A deeper study will show you it means I was, I is, and I will be. Do you get me? I was, I is, and I will be. Do you get? I was, I is, no, you can't say I am, because this I am we are looking at. I was, I is, and I will be. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, when he says I will be, you know, it is part of that word, I am that I am. It shows that it's a word that speaks of the incarnation. I will be a man. That's what God is saying. Hallelujah. I will be a man. I am. Much more, you see the reason why Moses did not say, God, show me your glory. You see that? He's talking about the incarnation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will be a man. So, I am is God's proper name. It's God's name. In Exodus 6 verse 2, it says, now the Lord said to Moses, verse 2, and God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. Do you see that? I am the Lord. Now what am there is actually italicized, it's not in the original. It is actually God said to Moses, I the Lord. Do you see that? I the Lord. I is a proper name. Hallelujah. So he's telling him that you need to get this now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's telling him that he is Yahweh, the Lord. Hallelujah. I the Lord. In verse 3, now say, I appeared to Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. As God Almighty, but by my name Yahweh, I was not known to them. By my name Yahweh, I was not known to them. Are you following me? I was not known to them. It says, I appeared to Abraham as the Lord Almighty. And see what happened to that. Okay, so then he appeared to Abraham as what? Lord Almighty.
which is El Shaddai. Hallelujah. El Shaddai, Almighty. But that you find in Genesis 17, but we'll look at that next week. But yet, remember he said, by my name, Yahweh, I was not known. Right? But yet in Genesis 2, verses 5. Look at that. Genesis 2, 5, before Abraham even came to the scene, we have that name. Verse 5, it says, before any plant, verse 5. Before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, he said, for Yahweh had not caused it to rain on the earth. This is that, for Yahweh had not caused it to rain on the earth. Oh, yes, he said, I was not known to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as Yahweh. But in Genesis 2, we find him as Yahweh. Genesis 2, 5, 2, 8, 2, 9, 2, 8, 2, 8, 2, 9, 2, 16, 2, 18, Genesis 2, and like that. Hallelujah. Why? Not now. Remember, this is because beyond we teach you so that you will be able to explain further. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now the reason why you find Yahweh before even Abraham in Genesis, yes, God said, I was not known to Abraham as Yahweh, is because who is writing Genesis? Who is writing Genesis? Moses. So Moses is writing. So when you find God, he has to write with the revelation that he knows God to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So don't need to disturb your head over. Are you following me? Did you get that? Did you get that? Did you get that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Moses wrote, and he wrote based on the knowledge he had about God. So when Jesus says, I am, he is referring, okay, that infers, when Jesus says, I am, he infers that he is the God of the 39 books. He's the God of the Old Testament books. The God of that you hear in Genesis to Malachi, spoken of by the prophet. Are you following me? Are you following me? Remember, during our last teaching, was it the last teaching or revelation of God? We said, an undeniable truth is that Jesus is God. Right? Right? So you can see we are breaking it up. Right? Right? That's why he will refer to himself as the I Am, the God of the Old Testament books. In John 14 verse 1, look at what Jesus said. John 14:1. He says, let not your heart be troubled. He said, believe in God, believe in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's not, you have to believe in God and then now look at Jesus and believe in Jesus. No. It means the believing God is the believing Jesus. Hallelujah. Because he is God. In verses 12, let's look at verse 12. It's not part of my note. Verses 7. Verse 6. It says, Jesus said to him, I am the way. Did you see that? Properly? I am the way. So that name carries both the verb and the proper name together. Are you following me? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am. So it's a strong word in the, it's a strong word in the name for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't use I am in the Hebrew. You don't use it. Hallelujah. Are you following me? You don't use it because it's a name for God. But Jesus uses this name because he is. To show you that he is the God. Hallelujah. Of Genesis to Malachi. Amen. 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 So when you get there, say, believe in God, also believe in me. So he is God. Jesus is God. Undeniable. You see, there's something that, see, as a believer, it's your belief. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't shake, you don't lose ground about it. Jesus is God. Hallelujah. Are you following me? He's not the kind of God. Oh, no! He's God! Not to believe that is not to be saved. Are you hearing me? You know, Jesus is the kind of God. Jehovah's Witness has got you somewhere. Hallelujah. Amen. Jehovah's Witness. You know what I mean? You know what's called Jehovah's Witness? You don't know it? Okay.
Sorry, Jehovah Witness. Glory to God. Jehovah Witness has got you somewhere. When you begin to just say, you know, it's not like that. It's God is, Jesus is a kind of, it's a God. Come on! Jesus is God. Hallelujah, you are loud about it. You say, when you say, I'm the Son of God, I'm a Son of God, you say, Jesus is God. Hallelujah. Undeniable truth. Undeniable. On what? Undeniable. That's why John, when I say in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word. When it says beginning, to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to get to see that also on Thursday. Hallelujah. He gets back to Genesis 1. In the beginning was the Word. Genesis 1:1. It says, the Word was with God. When it says Word, that is the word Logon, Logos in the Greek. Hallelujah. Logos. And I said this, from the strict Bible concordance, that word Logon is something, it implies something said. Something said, including a thought. Something said, including a thought. By implication, a topic that is a subject of discourse. Also, a reasoning, a mental faculty. So, when you hear the word Logon, it has to do with a thought, a pre-plan before an action. A pre-plan before an action. So, when John writes and says to you, in the beginning was the Logos. He writes for you to see. When he said in the beginning was the Logos, he said the Logos was with God, and the Logos is God. He writes for you to see that, hey, God. Hallelujah. He writes for you to see that what was spoken by the mouth of the prophet, what God's intention in Genesis, one that now became the subject in the mouth of the prophet, is actually God himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it tells you that Genesis is God's story, not Abraham's story, God's story. Hallelujah. So I will find Abraham's story written, but in the activities of men, God's story is told. God's story is told. How do you have it? In the activities of men, in the activities of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in the activities of Noah, in the activities of Joseph, and you will find the story of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the activities of Samuel, you will find God's story. In the activities of David, you will find God's story. So it is not their story, but God's story. Told in the activities of men. Are you following me? It's God's story. It's God's story. Hallelujah. 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 So when he gets to verse 14, John gets to verse 14, he says, and the Word became flesh. You remember, he has told you the Word is God. The Logos is God. Logos plus Theos. He now says, and the Logos became, became flesh. That's the word genomai to change form. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He took on flesh. It is a man,
hallelujah,
and a barnacle amongst us.
He writes that for you to see.
Hallelujah. That the God in the Old Testament books, which is the subject matter in the message of the prophets, who is the I am, right? Right? Who is the I am, now became man. Hallelujah. Now became man. Expressed in the person of Christ in the incarnation. Hallelujah. Now expressed himself in the person of Jesus in the incarnation. Hallelujah. Undeniable. Jesus is God. Hallelujah. So when Jesus says, I am, it's to point to that very fact. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at John 8:26. Jesus and the woman are the well.
John
8:26. Woman asked him a question. Are you there? John 8:26. Glory to God.
Glory to God. Is that John 8?
Sorry. Oh, I like John 8. John 4:26. Woman at the well. Also 4:25. And the woman said to him, I know that
the Messiah is coming, who
is called Christ. Christos. When he comes, he would tell us all things. Do you see that? He will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Do you see that? That word he is italicized. So meaning it's not in the original. Hallelujah. So what Jesus says is, I who speak to you am. Let me read it
how the Greek will
put it. Hallelujah.
I checked that out.
And originally, what Jesus' response was, I am speaks to thee. Jesus' response, I am speaketh. So it says, when he will come, no, you want to talk about the Messiah, and Jesus' response was what? I am
speaketh.
He conferred himself. Not he conferred himself. He is, hallelujah. He shows that he is the God.
Genesis
to Malachi. Hallelujah. The I am of the scriptures became a man. Hallelujah.
Are you following that? Are you following that? Glory to God.
And what we begin to explore on Paul's day, I am.
Well,
you know, we're having more or less like an introduction to what we begin to look at on Paul's day. Hallelujah. So Jesus' words and actions. So that means when he says, I am, speaketh to thee. When Jesus says, I am, he then tells you that this is the God of what? The last nine books, right? Spoken of by the prophets, right? Right? He's not in the flesh.
So that means every word spoken of
concerning him, every word of his, every word that is written in his story. Okay, let me put it this way. That means
that incarnation
will be God explaining himself
to man in himself and himself back. Hallelujah. Are you following? Are we taking it over to where we stop the revelation of God? Yeah, we are. Are you seeing that?
Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Are you seeing that? Amen. Why don't you see that? Glory to God. So that means you will not understand when I say Jesus' words and actions explain God. Do you understand that now? Hallelujah. Because this is the I am. He explained God in the 39 books. Because this is the word, the I am of the 39 books. Are you following that? Are you following that? Are you seeing it well? Glory to God. So let's see what he does. In Exodus 15. Exodus 15:26. I told us we'll get here yesterday, right? Exodus 15:26. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 26. Are you in verse 26? Look at what it says. Quickly.
And he said, if you diligently heed to the voice of your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandment and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you.
He employs that word, I am
Yahweh. I am. Is that word again? I am. A word in the Greek, egoema, right?
What?
I am. That word am is italicized. So it is eha. Glory to God.
I am.
Proper name, right?
Proper name, right? Glory to God. So let's see what he does. I am heals you.
Glory to God. I am heals you. Heals you. So we see him as the healer. Exodus 15:6. I am heals you. But let's look at something here. Glory to God. Look at something critically. This seems to be like a contradiction here. It says, I will put none of the diseases which I put on the Egyptians upon you, and the Lord that heals you. It looks as if God is doing, how do you call that thing? Is it Ayo?
Right?
You look at it, God is in Ion.
You will take from the Egyptian and put on the Israel. Something like that.
Hallelujah. Is it Ion? He's lost. Let me know your language.
Ayo.
Thank you. Prophet Jehovah. Yahweh.
Nobody is a student of Lagos. Somebody is born in Lagos.
You are from. Let them know you are from. Huh? Yes. It's Russian. Bros, let me tell you the truth. You are from Sudan. This guy.
I have
to say something. Go back. Find your house. Hallelujah. Okay, what is it again? Not Ayo. Not some people that are on exile. Hallelujah. Some people are not proper from exile. Look at them there. Hallelujah. Okay, Ayo, right?
So you take and then you pass. Right? You know the game? This generation of PS3 and PS5. Right?
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you look at me. I will not put what I have put. Watch it. I will not put what I have put. I will not put on you the disease I have put on the Egyptians. As though God is one that distributes sickness. Glory to God. But God, that was not what he's talking about. Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, we've looked at it during, but we're going to look at it right now. Again, just, was it God, or does God do that? No. Hallelujah. Because when we look at the I am in the incarnation, we didn't see him put sicknesses on anyone.
I follow you.
Did he? He did. So that means the I am in the Old Testament books will not be doing that. Do you get it? You know, some people have not taken it. So now say, see. No, some people say, God is good. I've heard someone before say, the reason why this sickness, why I have this sickness, is because God is using it to make me not to be casually. God is using it to humble me. God? No! It's not like someone saying it was God that sent his destroyer to go and kill firstborn children in Egypt. It can be God. I follow me. Because even in the Old Testament book, in Ezekiel, which we read yesterday, he said,
God takes no pleasure in the death of a sinner. So we can't say God that killed children. No. Are you following me? And we can say, the reason why I am like this is because God doesn't need to teach me a lesson. God doesn't need to use sickness to teach you a lesson. No, God doesn't. He says he is the Rapha. Are you following me? He is the Rapha, the one who healed. So he doesn't use it to teach you lessons. You know, God sometimes allows things to happen so that he will show his glory. These are some of the questions we'll begin to answer in this teaching. Hallelujah. No, God doesn't do that. They say, you are in defense of God. Yes. You see, part of our responsibility as believers is to what? Defend our God. We defend the gospel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Part of your duty as a believer is to defend the gospel. Now, why would you defend the gospel? Is it that God has done something wrong and we are trying to stand as defense counsel for God? No. So what we call defense the gospel is proper explanation of the gospel, which is clear all through scripture. But you know, when man brings his experience to try to explain scripture, they make a whole lot of blunder. Are you following me? Are you following me? So your role as a believer is to defend the gospel. Are you following me? Say, my role is defense of the gospel. Of the gospel. That is proper explanation. Hallelujah. That's your role as a believer. Our role, my role, your role. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And the reason why we have people have their personal experience on the word is because they, you know, language, I've thought of this, language has have changed over time. The Hebrew language, what we have in the New Testament is the Greek. You understand me? Now if you read Acts of Apostles chapter 13, Paul said, they know not the language of the prophet. That word, that means no longer the language. Do you understand me? So language is important in Bible interpretation. Are you following me? Because language changes over time, but language of the scripture has never changed. So that means in interpreting scripture, I have to go back to what? The language of that day. I'll have to go back to the language of that day. I'll have to sit where the audience sat. Are you following me? We did this example last week, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, if you stay on base, if you stay in Air Force base, there are some languages you would have to learn. And in, you know, the language is different from those that are staying outside the base. Hope you know that. For example, let me give you a simple example. The first day I heard someone say, I was going to mess. Now let me tell you how my Sunday school teacher then interpreted it. You know him. He interpreted it somehow. And because he was not a soldier. So he said, the mess is a place where you go and men will just sit there and be messing. When you hear mess, what comes to your mind? Fast. Now when I say I'm going to mess, what will come to your mind? I'm going to fast. Live fast and think. Do you understand? That's what we're talking about. When you get to the base, as someone says, when you get to the base, say you are going to the mess or you are going to mess. And you say, oh, do you understand? Because you don't understand. That is the language there. Hallelujah. So if I'm writing a book concerning the military life, and I write, and on the first day I was going to mess, and your mind goes, this pastor said was going to fast. You know you will miss it. You will miss it because mess is a place where soldiers go to have a recreational time. They go there, watch ball, play games. That's what is called mess. You know where you go and be fasting up and lunch will be giving. You understand? It's not a competition where they throw mess up and down. Are you following me? Amen. So if I'm writing to people in the base and I write it and I say mess, if you are reading that book, you will have to take that seat of the audience. That is, you must understand what is the language of that place. Are you following me? Just like the day I got to school. The first day I got to school, I got to my faculty. We were doing clearance. And someone And he just told me, "Have you gone to get this clear?" And I said, "Where?" Now he said, "He's in Lagos."
Ah!
Lagos. You know? I just go to school. He said, "You go to Lagos and go and get the signature." I'm like, "Yeah." Ah! I called my dad. Said, "Ah, daddy," they said, "my clearance will be done in Lagos." I've told this story before, right? Lagos! You know, my head was Enugu to Lagos. Not knowing that Lagos is a place in the school. That is, I was a proper Eru Jambito. Proper one. Are you following me? Proper one. I never knew. In fact, where I was, when they told me that was my faculty is called Abuja. Interesting. Are you following me? So, from Abuja to Lagos in school, just 50 naira. And I was almost crying. I need 3,000 or thereabouts to come to Lagos. And I needed to do that clearance that day. Imagine, that was the deadline. The deadline for Lagos. I mean, for your clearance. And they are telling you, you go and sign it in Lagos. Whereas Lagos is just a stone throw in school. How about that? Now, remember, if I'm to write about, I've played some of my school songs. One of my school songs for my wife, or there some people around. And there are some language that they use there that if you don't listen to those words where you're like, "What is your bushmo?" You don't know that. But if you are in your neck, you know what is bushmo. Because you, so if a book is written, or a book is written, and you want to really appreciate the book, you have to take the seat of rewards, UNN students, to understand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those who went to the same school, we want to hear Ogima. What comes to your mind? Today, if you hear Ogima, what comes to your mind? But what you hear Ogima in my school, what you should be seeing is four rats of Gary on top of yourself. Say, "Guy, I'm going to Ogima." We already know where you are going to. We know you are going to eat. That's a different world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, that is what. So, the reason for human experience that will now warrant you to defend the gospel is because men try to read the language of their day into the scriptures. Are you following me? Are you following me? So, don't miss it out. Glory to God. Even in the Old Testament books, Nehemiah, the prophet had to interpret the language. Even there, he had to be interpreted to make you know that interpretation of language is important. Even Moses had to do interpretation. Had told us that. Hallelujah. He had to do interpretation. Glory to God. Abraham was not Hebrew, but he gave him Hebrew name. Are you following me? So he had to interpret. Adam, Noah, and the likes. So, interpretation, you have to interpret. That is the job of a Bible student, a Bible teacher. Glory to God. Are you following me? Glory to God. So, I said the reason why people have that blockage, bringing in human experience, because what? They know not the language of the prophet. So, part of my duty as a Bible student is to understand Bible language.
Understand what?
Bible language. Glory to God. So, when I get back to Exodus 15, have you heard someone say, "Oh Lord, do not send your destroyer to destroy me." Or you say, "Oh God, I ask that you release your destroyer. The destroyer that destroyed all the children of Egypt. Release your destroyer against my enemy." Have you heard that before? Ah. Have you heard someone raise that as scripture? As a prayer point. Just so I say, let us pray now. Let the Lord destroy. Send his destroyer to destroy our enemies. Interesting. God? No. That's not God. Hallelujah. So therefore, what is God saying? If you go back to old Hebrew language, the Hebrew language, you discover that the Hebrew language doesn't give room, gives no difference between God, between permissive and causative verbs. Between permissive and causative verbs. Most times, when an action is permissive, the Hebrew language will tag it, will write, render it as though it is causative.
Are you following me? I'll do an example now. You don't want to use a cup.
Well, Benjamin. Carry that phone. For the sake of this class, this is your phone. Stand it. Now, this is Gobenya, it's the owner of the phone. Now, you know what is causative verb? Causative verb means you are having an action. You understand it? Give him your phone. Give her your phone, sorry. What would you say?
Bro Benjamin gave sister.
What is that? Okay, sister. Your name is a sentence. Sister God's favor. Eh? His phone. Right? Who did? Bro Benjamin, right? Right? That's how you read it. Give him back the phone. Drop the phone. Now take the phone out of the line. Don't drag it though. That phone has screen. Just take it. What will you say? God's favor took the phone from who? From Benjamin, right? She took the phone, right? But old Hebrew or Hebrew will not say it like that. Because Hebrew does not give, because this action now is permissive. He did nothing. That is permissive. He did nothing and she took it. You understand? But the Hebrew language will not give you, will not tell you that, because it doesn't give that difference. What the Hebrew language will say is, bro Benjamin gave sister God's favor his phone. The same thing. Do you see that? Whereas in the recent, it was God's favor that took the phone. Are you following me? But why did they not say Benjamin gave her the phone? Because the phone was taken from Benjamin's hand. Benjamin is included in that conversation, though he was inactive. So his inactivity in the Hebrew language is now called activity. Are you following me? You can go and you can have a seat. Glory to God. So the same way too, God's inactivity is counted as God being active. So many times, when God did nothing, it looked as if God was the one that was doing it, but that was not God. But because that action was around God's people or God's work, or around God's work, it will be counted as though God did it. Like in this case, in Exodus 15, where we were, verse 26, in this case, when he says, if you diligently heed to the voice of the Lord, okay, I will put none of the diseases on you. Did you see that? As though it was God that is putting diseases, which I have brought upon this Egyptian, for I am the Lord that heals you. You know, God is inactive in this situation when he talks about, I will put none of the diseases. Rather, he shows, Moses is writing for you to see what God does. The original will read it this way, I will not allow the diseases which came upon the Egyptians to come to you, because I am the God that healeth thee. I will not allow the diseases. I will not allow, that's God's work, the diseases which came upon the Egyptians. Did you see that? Which came upon the Egyptians. It says, for I am the Lord that heals thee. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to see something now. So, Moses writes for you to see God's character of protection. I will not allow. Just like in the case of the destroyer going around Egypt. What God just told them is what? When I see the blood, I will pass over it. No, what that implies is that I will pass over it. That was Passover day. Today we look at the word Passover day. Look at it. I am, when I see the blood, I'll just jump you. Right? That is today's language. That is what today's language, right? But what God said, that word I will pass over thee is the word pasach in the Hebrew. I mean pasach. It means I will stop. This that is what I use for to stop an action. To do what? To stop an action. So what God is saying is that when the destroyer gets to town, I will stop him from hurting you. Are you following me? So what happened was that God saw ahead of time. So God saw an impending danger, or God is instructing them as regards a danger ahead, and he tells them, this is what you will do. When I see the blood, I will stop evil from coming to you. Do you understand me? So what happened in Egypt that night was like a pestilence, a pandemic.
Pandemic is on the whole world.
It was an epidemic. I call it for an epidemic. So it happened in Egypt, but what did God do? God stopped it from getting to the children of Israel. Are you following me? So it shows you God's role of protection. Are you following me? God's role of what? Protection. The same way to Moses writes it here for you to see. I will not allow the diseases which came upon the Egyptians to come to you, because I am Lord that heals you. So Moses writes for you to see God's character of protection, deliverance, and a healer. When he said, I am the Lord that heals you. He says, I am heals you. That is the word. I am heals you. So that is the word Rapha in the Hebrew. Rapha. A word used for a physician. In Genesis 50 verse 2, physician. The word used for a physician implies used for a physician. Genesis 52. You see that there? It implies to cure, to make whole, to heal. Hallelujah. You find it in Genesis 20:17, Exodus 21:19, Numbers 18:13, and so on. So Moses shows us who God is. God is a healing God. Hallelujah. God is a healing God. Do we find that in the I am? Do we find that in the incarnation? Yes, Jesus is a healing God. Hallelujah. Are you following me? God is a healing God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. So that is why when I read the incarnation, which is an explanation of the 39 books, I see him as a healing God. Glory to God. God is a healer. He is a healer. He doesn't want you sick. He's a healer. Say, I am the Lord who heals you. So it shows you God's protective role and God's healing ability. I will not allow it. And even when you get it, you will be healed. Hallelujah. God is a healer. God is a healer. God is a healer. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. So, you know, even all around, while we had the teaching on the revelation of God, I showed us that when you get to the Old Testament book, you also find human experiences that try to explain God. Hallelujah. We'll get to see some of that as we progress. And you discover that it's actually a language barrier. A language barrier, you see, is a language barrier. Language barrier. All true. But you know, God is never changing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a never changing God. He's a healer. He's a healer. He's a healer. And as we progress in this teaching, I want to let you know that every section after today will be having time to lay hands. Hallelujah. Sicknesses will leave because we'll teach the word and we'll practice it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it was until the incarnation that we saw that when God has to do with sickness, there's a demon in charge. There's a demon around. You know, when Jesus went about in Matthew chapter 4, we saw that in the healing of the sick, he cast out demons. Hallelujah. To show you, it is not God who puts sicknesses on people. No, God doesn't. Hallelujah. God doesn't. Hallelujah. God doesn't. God doesn't put sicknesses on people. No. For his role is to heal. Hallelujah. 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 And as we progress in this teaching, it will take us weeks, 8-9 weeks. It will take us into weeks. But you know, we're rest assured. Hallelujah. I'm telling you this for a short thing, for a truth. See, be rest assured. Our God is a healing God. You'll be healed in your body, if you are sick. You stand for anyone, the person will be healed. And not just that, these teachings, you'll also practice yourself. You'll go out to and lay hands. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Like I said, I don't know if I said that to people around, but I told the pastor friend, I said, "See, I see healing streams around. But I see healing streams around. In the face of pandemic, healing is taking place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what is happening all over the world. We have a healing Jesus. Let's go on our feet. And thank you. Just come here.